to the Voices of Texas podcast. My name is Melvin Jones. This is a podcast about play-by-play sportscasters here in the state of Texas. And our very first guest on our very first episode is none other than Merle Bertrand. Now, Merle is currently the broadcast director for Vipe Media, as well as the voice of the Vandergrift Vipers. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this story with myself and Merle right here on the Voices of Texas. All right, so our very first guest right here on the Voices of Texas, he is the absolute gem when it comes to Texas play-by-play. He is a mentor of mine. He is also right now my boss for a few more months. Say hello to the broadcast director of Vipe Media, Mr. Merle Bertrand. Merle, thanks for joining us today on the Voices of Texas.
Well, you know, it's 30 degrees outside and dropping and about to be icy. Where else am I going to go on a day like today, right? Then talking to you.
Exactly. Look, I'm indoors as well. It is windy, chilly. It is cold outside. So I'm glad to have this interaction with you today.
Well, glad to be here.
So take us back to the beginning. How did you get started doing play-by-play here as far as high school sports here in Texas?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those happy accidents. You know, when I was a kid growing up in Illinois, where there were a lot of days like today, you know, one of the first things I wanted to be when I grew up, per se, was a play-by-play guy. But I kind of got distracted and sort of seduced by the film industry. I had met a couple of guys and were involved in film and helped them make a Super 8 movie when we were kids in high school and that kind of thing, and just kind of fell in love with that whole process and sort of got detoured into the film industry, both in Austin and out in L.A. for 7 years. Along the way, when I moved back to Austin about 1995, about 2000 or so, I had started going out to what was then Thunderhill Raceway out in Kyle. It's not there anymore. It's an industrial center now. But my buddies and I used to go out to the races every Friday night and heard about this little company called K-Max Sports that was just starting up at the time. The guy who was starting that, Chuck Licata, was a track announcer out of PA. And I talked to him about my, you know, sort of childhood stuff, about wanting to be doing play-by-play as a kid. And he said, well, send me a tape. Like I had a tape or anything like that. But I cut something together. I watched the UT championship game against USC and made up my own rosters and cut together a little demo tape and sent it to him and just started doing play-by-play. And it was all for fun back then. I mean, there was no money involved at all. If we got 10 bucks for gas, we were really, really lucky. But that's kind of how it all got started.
A lot of people will ask, why high school? And I know for me, over the past 5.5 years, I have loved doing high school games. I believe high school, especially here in the state of Texas, is king. Mm-hmm. You know, it's being treated as bigger than a small college, almost bigger than UT football, A&M, so on and so on. So why high school sports?
Yeah, it's interesting. And you've probably seen the numbers too. I've seen it on Facebook where they compare the attendance at the UIL state championship games up in AT&T to like Florida and that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, six times as many people go to those games. Yeah. High school football, especially in Texas, is so huge. But you and I have both seen it doing all the sports. There's good crowds at basketball. There's growing crowds at baseball and softball. I think even with the proliferation of club sports and youth sports and that kind of thing, there's still something for the guys and the girls about playing for your school, you know, playing with the kids that you grew up with. So on that side, I think it's kind of become more attractive to the student athletes, which makes it more attractive to people like us. I mean, as to the why, that's the why initially was because that's what KMAC and now Vipe concentrates on. But I've also done semi-pro. I also do, you know, Division III college football, and we do youth sports and that kind of thing. So we'll do it if it's available. I'll do it if it's available. But the emphasis for Vipe as a company is on high school sports. So that's where it's at. And, you know, I agree with you. The excitement level is just off the charts to go to a football game in Texas on a Friday night and see 20,000 people there sometimes. It's insane.
The industry obviously has changed. When KMAC started, it was straight audio only. That's the only way you can read. Now for us, we're doing video and audio on YouTube. As far as the change in the industry, what are some of the biggest changes you've seen outside of now the video being the biggest thing going forward?
Yeah, I mean, that was huge. I mean, just to see that come in and see how that's improved. You know, I remember when we started with KMAC and I would try to go to schools and talk to them about what we were doing. The two questions I got were, what station is it on again? And what do you mean by online broadcasting? Had to literally explain what it was that it was at the time, like radio, except you listen to it on your laptop, your desktop. There weren't really many cell phones that could even handle it, if any, back then. We're talking, you know, almost 20 years ago now, which is kind of crazy. The first KMAC broadcast, I believe, was in 2004. And they had to drag a desktop computer up to the press box and string phone line and all that kind of stuff. So the technology's come a long way. So that's the biggest change, is just the technology, which is a mixed blessing. The other change that goes along with that is, because it's so prevalent now, almost anybody thinks that they can do it. You know, we can go to a game that we're doing a professional broadcast of, and you've got, you know, mom in the stands streaming it on her phone to Facebook. And for a lot of people, that's good enough. And to people like you and me, that's not good enough, because there's a massive difference between a full professional broadcast, even if it's just one camera, and some parent streaming it to Facebook somewhere, or streaming it to Twitter or whatever. So the proliferation of technology has made it easier for us to put out a better product, but it's also made it easier for everybody and their brother to think that they can become a broadcaster. And it kind of reminds me, not to ramble on this, but it kind of reminds me, you know, I mentioned I was in the film industry. Everybody said, well, video cameras are going to make it, you know, it's going to make it, everybody's going to become a filmmaker. No, everybody can shoot crappy video and post it on YouTube. Not everybody's a filmmaker. It's the same thing. Not everybody can become a broadcaster just because you can stream it to Facebook.
It's funny you say that, because last week during Regions and Brighter Horizons, I noticed the amount of parents that came that had cell phones out shooting the game. And I was like, wow, like, you could have joined us instead of just streaming it to Facebook. But I mean, we're at the times where, again, you said people use their cell phones to shoot everything and anything, and they're doing the same thing as far as broadcast. So I definitely see it. You did something last year that's only been done a handful of times as far as VIPE, and that's called a state championship game. I called the state semifinals for baseball last year. Tell us how exciting that was to be able to call that game and for your team to win a state championship in AT&T in December of 2024.
Yeah, I mean, it was insane. And it's actually, I've gotten to do it twice now, because they won the state championship in 2024. And 2 years before that, they had reached the state championship for the first game, talking about Vandergrift High School. Get my little Viper plug in there. They had reached a state championship game for the first time in 2022 and lost to DeSoto. And it was incredible, just an incredible experience to be in that atmosphere and to see 30,000 people there, you know, halfway filling up that massive stadium. And the funny part is, a guy that you and I both know very well, Brad Cohn, who is the voice of the Cedar Park Timberwolves and one of my mentors, if you will, one of the guys that kind of taught me how to do baseball. He had been to the state championship game a couple of times before with Cedar Park. And, you know, Liberty Hills also had been there as part of the KMAC and the Bike family. But Brad told me, he said, Merle, enjoy this, because it's so hard to get here and you don't know if you will ever be back again. And to have the opportunity to do it twice in the span of 3 years, it's just been amazing. It's he's right. It's so hard for these teams to get there. People see these teams kind of popping up every year, every other year, and they think, well, it's just going to, no, there's so much that can go wrong along the way. So for any broadcaster that's out there, if they get the opportunity to do what I've gotten to do, man, enjoy it.
What's funny is, it's so big for us to be able to call something like that, to where it's last year, my wedding was on June the 6th. The state baseball championship, June the 7th. And luckily, I had a fantastic wife who told me, hey, if it happens, then you can go and call the game. And it's a big thing for us to be able to call these things, especially for schools that we've called for forever. I've called Dripping Springs baseball since 2021, and you've called Vandegrift forever. So it's not only special for the players, the parents, the grandparents, but especially for us, because we've seen a lot of these boys and girls grow up in front of our eyes, and for them to reach that pinnacle, man, that is exciting.
It's exciting, it's thrilling, and there's a huge sense of responsibility. I always remember, you know, I'm a big space junkie, and reading about, you know, the Mercury astronauts back in the 60s and 70s, and they would always say a little prayer on the launch, you know, launch pad, you know, dear God, please don't let me F this up. You know, it's the same kind of thing. When you feel like your team is going to be in a position to maybe win the game on a field goal at the end, man, the pressure just goes up. You don't want to blow that. You want to get everything as right as you possibly can. And, you know, if you've done it long enough, you can kind of block it out a little bit. And then you get home, it's like, boy, I hope that was okay.
Yep. I do that every night.
It's just a huge sense of responsibility.
Let's talk about the transition from K-Mac to Vipe. Now, K-Mac started off small, 2004. Mm-hmm. And here we are with Vipe, to whereas we have teams from as north as the Metroplex to down south here, Austin, the New Braunfels area, San Antonio. Tell us how the transition from K-Mac to Vipe went and how it's going today as far as Vipe and how big Vipe has gotten here in 2026.
Yeah, it's been quite a process. As I mentioned, when I started out with K-Mac, the first thing I did on K-Mac was a movie talk show called The Director's Cut. Today, you call it a podcast. In 2007, there was no such thing. It was a talk show that just happened to be online. But that's the first thing I did for K-Mac, and then started doing play-by-play in the fall and that kind of thing. It was mostly audio. We had two or three schools. It was a big night for us. I remember talking to Chuck at the time, do we add Cedar Park? We're going to go from two to three schools. Do we have enough people to handle that? You know, if we had four games on a Friday night, it was a big deal. And it was all just sort of everybody just kind of doing it for fun. There was really no money involved. It wasn't until about maybe 2013 that a small investor group came in and sank a little bit of money into K-Mac to sort of stabilize it. They kind of helped run the business and gave us an office to work out of, sort of shared office space and that kind of thing. And that's how K-Mac kind of grew for about 5 years, from 2013 to 2018. Stabilized, got a bit of a reputation for doing quality work, bringing in quality people, you know, like yourself, doing really good broadcasts, to the point where it needed somebody bigger to take it over for it to grow. And at the time, Vipe was a sort of media production company out of Houston. They were known, and are still known primarily, for their content, articles, interviews, now podcasts, all that kind of thing. They didn't have any sort of broadcast or streaming presence. K-Mac was a perfect fit for them. And we were acquired in 2018 to be operating as part of now Vipe Live under the Vipe Media umbrella. And it's kind of grown even bigger to, like you said, we were just Austin only for years and years, maybe San Antonio Christian, maybe one or two games in Houston, but it was all Austin. Now it is up in Dallas. It's in Houston. It's in San Antonio. We'll do stuff down in Corpus or Laredo, that kind of thing. Pretty much I-35 East. We haven't broken it too much out west yet, but we're still working on it. But it's really grown, and it's been kind of fun to watch that process and to educate people, letting people in Austin know that Vipe is more than just live streaming, because that's all they know about here in Austin. Whereas in Houston, all they know about is the content. They don't even know that we're live streaming broadcast. So that sort of cross-pollination has been kind of fun to see happen.
Final question. What would you tell the young aspiring broadcasters? What do they need to do to become where you and I are at right now?
Just do it. I mean, we're old enough to know that when we were kids growing up, there was maybe one or two local radio stations. There was no TV. There was no streaming, anything like that. There was no opportunity to do it. I did a high school basketball game at my high school in Illinois, where I recorded it into a 3/4-inch video tape machine just to do it, just for fun. Nobody heard it. Nobody saw it. I never even saw it. But today you've got Vibe, you've got Texan Live, you've got Legacy Sports, you've got, you know, what you're doing. There are all these companies out there. Even if you don't hook up with one of them, do it. Just go do it for yourself so you can get a demo reel put together and get your name out there. I mean, that's really what it's all about, is just doing it, sort of honing your craft, watching it on TV and talking in front of a mirror and record yourself doing it. And the other thing that I would tell people is, this frustrates me all the time, because you're one of the first people I call when this happens. Hey, Joe Blow can't get off work, and you covered this game. I mean, I get it. When I started out with KMac, I had a full-time job too. It's hard to get off work, but if you really, really want to do it and you've got a schedule in advance, get with your boss and say, hey, I need to take off these days. If I got vacation days, I'll take them. If not, I need to get off. You don't have to pay me. Make that sacrifice. Be willing to travel more than 5 miles away from your house and just go out there and do it.
I've said, and I told this to you before, that we even have some on the Vibe roster that, you know, they love doing it, but they don't have the dedication. And it comes to whereas the dedication must take as much precedence as the love, because if you're not dedicated to it, it's not going to be well. And like for me, you know, I love, this is what I love. This is my passion.
Right.
A lot of people don't have that passion, and that's okay. But learn how to be passionate, I guess, is what I'm saying. And I guess that's exactly what you're saying as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, we've got, you know, guys that are just out of high school that are working with us. We've got people like myself and Brad and you that have been doing it for a long, long time. Some of our guys are just one school. Their kids went to school. They started doing the games for that school. Their kids graduate and they just stay there. And that's totally fine.
Yep.
We've got people that want to use us as a stepping stone to move up. That's fine too. There's a guy by the name of Garrett Green who filled in for me for a year at Vandegrift Baseball, because I was doing some work out of Liberty Hill at the time. Garrett Green went off, he finished college, started doing minor league baseball. Then he became the co-play-by-play guy of the Space Cowboys in Houston. Last summer, he broadcast 3 games for the Houston Astros. And he sent a note to myself and Christina Weber, my wife, who was very instrumental along with me in helping build up KMac Sports, thanking us for helping him get started. So we've got people at all different levels. But Garrett is one of those guys that was willing to travel. He was willing to go out and do single-A baseball in Montana or wherever the heck it was, because he knew that was going to get him to bigger and better things. So you're right. Not everybody has that dedication, but that's what it takes to get ahead.
And look, truth be told, I'm too old to try to do anything else besides high school sports, and I love it too much. So there we go. That's
and
my
same
path.
Here. You know, people have asked me, you know, wouldn't you want to be one of those guys that's working on NFL on Sunday? Well, sure. I like the money more than anything.
There you go.
But, you know, at the same time, like you, I'm older. You know, I'm too old to start down that path. Somebody's got to build and nurture this sandbox, and I kind of feel like that's sort of my role right now. I get to do play-by-play, get to scratch that itch for a team and a community that I love to work for with Vandegrift, helping out some of the other teams that we work with, filling in here and there, and sort of nurturing talent and kind of spreading out what we do. So for me, that's enough right now. I wish I had that money, but you know, and in terms of professional satisfaction, this is fine.
He is the voice of the Vandegrift Vipers, the broadcast director of Vibe Media, my mentor for a couple of months, my boss, but I will always be back in Vibe. And of course, here at 1216 Sports Media, we will be affiliates with Vibe. He is Merle Bertrand. Merle, thank you for your time, sir. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you, Melvin, and take care of yourself.
And a very special thank you to Merle Bertrand, the broadcast director from Vibe Media, for joining us on our very first episode of The Voices of Texas. We plan on giving this to you guys at least bi-monthly, maybe even sooner, but we'll see how everything goes. My name is Melvin Jones, and once again, I thank you for listening and joining us on The Voices of Texas podcast, on the 1216 Sports Radio Network.